Hear the word of God this morning from the gospel according to Luke chapter 8, verses 22 to 25. Luke 8, 22 to 25. We're going to look together this morning at an event in our Lord's ministry that we're probably familiar with. We're going to hear about a time when our Lord was with his disciples on a boat on the Sea of Galilee. They were crossing the sea. Jesus was asleep on the boat, and then something happened that caused the disciples to be greatly afraid. What was it that caused them to be afraid, and what did our Lord do about it? Well, let's listen to the text together. Again, it is Luke 8, verses 22 to 25. We hear now the word of God. One day Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's go over to the other side of the lake." So they got into a boat and set out. As they sailed, he fell asleep. A squall came down on the lake so that the boat was being swamped, and they were in great danger. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." He got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided, and all was calm. "Where is your faith?" he asked his disciples. In fear and amazement, they asked one another, "Who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him." Thus far the reading of God's word. Let us pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for your word and for the Christ who is revealed to us in your word. We pray that as we consider the passage this morning, that you would help us by the Holy Spirit and point us to your Son. We pray in his name. Amen. Brothers and sisters in the Lord, I think it's probably safe to say that all of us have experienced things that have made us afraid. We've had moments, all of us, where there was fear in some way, perhaps even great fear. Perhaps there was a time where you felt that your life was being threatened and it seemed that you were in danger. Perhaps there was a time when you felt that you were under attack. You felt threatened in some way. Or maybe there was a time where you were injured, your health was in trouble, you were sick, and things were not going well. And you wondered, what is going to happen to me? Am I going to be okay? And you were afraid and fearful. Or maybe there was a time when death seemed to be very close. You were in serious circumstances and you wondered, is this going to be it? Is this my time? Or maybe it's the things that are going on right now as we hear about the coronavirus and its spread. I think over the past week, many people have become fearful and about what might happen in this nation. Will this virus affect us the way it has the nation of Italy? What will the effect be? How long will it last? How many will die? What's going to happen to the economy? There's so many questions, and we don't have answers to those questions. And so in such circumstances, it can be easy for people to become afraid because we don't know. Have you ever been afraid? Well, that's the situation that we find our Lord's disciples facing in the text this morning. Here in the passage, we find the disciples in a situation where they sense danger. They're all very afraid. Now, it all happened as they were traveling with Jesus in a boat across the Sea of Galilee. As they were making their way, a violent storm came upon that lake. Now, for the Sea of Galilee, that would not have been something that was uncommon. You never knew what might happen on the Sea of Galilee. You know, the weather there could look nice at one moment, but the storms could come very suddenly. And the waters, which had just previously seemed very peaceful, could become dangerous very quickly. And that's what happened here. As we read in verse 23, a squall came down on the lake so that the boat was being swamped, and they were in great danger. Now, have you ever been on a boat in the midst of a storm of some kind? I remember when I was a teenager, I was on a ferry, and a storm came on the water. And of course, it was bumpy. It wasn't a pleasant ride. People didn't enjoy it, but it was a big boat. And it was easily able to weather that storm. Some people may have felt ill, but no one's life was in danger. There was no danger in that situation of capsizing or sinking. But of course, the situation of the disciples was very different. This would have been a very tiny boat. And it wasn't just a matter of a bumpy ride. The boat was filling with water. And it actually looked at like the boat might go under. Notice again, it says the boat was being swamped and they were in great danger. So you see the picture here. This was a moment of great life-threatening danger. The wind was strong, the waves were strong, and the boat was being swamped with the water. And so what was the response of the disciples? Well, the answer, of course, is that they were afraid. So they came to Jesus, who through all of this was sleeping on the boat. They wake him up and they say to him, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." And they're thinking here, we're going to die here, and you don't seem to care. So that was the situation of the disciples. "Master, Master, we're going to drown." And it's at this point that the disciples experience something that is far more remarkable and awesome than any storm on the sea. Because it's here that the disciples are given a glimpse, a revelation of the glory and power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here they are given a glimpse of who Jesus truly is. And at the end of the passage, we find the disciples still expressing fear, but now it's a very different kind of fear. Not a fear of the storm, not a fear of the wind and the waves, but a fear that is expressed in the words, "Who is this?" He commands even the wind and the water, and they obey him. At the end of the passage, we still find the disciples in fear, but it's a very different sort of fear. Having beheld the glory and power of Jesus Christ, the disciples now have a different kind of fear. Through Jesus, their fear is corrected. It is redirected in the right way. And that's what we're going to look at as we consider the text this morning. Our focus is going to be on Jesus and the things that make people afraid. And there are a few things we're going to see as we consider this together. In the first place, I want to see here that Jesus is unafraid of the things that typically make us afraid. He's unafraid and unthreatened by the things that make us afraid. You'll notice in the passage that Jesus is completely unthreatened and unafraid of this storm on the sea. He's much more concerned about the disciples and their response to the storm, which in this context he speaks of their lack of faith. He's not at all, though, afraid of this storm that so troubled the disciples. The disciples were desperate and fearful. For them, it looked like the end might be near. It looked like they were going to drown. But Jesus says, "No." But Jesus here is not afraid, and he's not troubled by this. Now, how do we see this? Well, we see this, of course, in the fact that Jesus was sleeping during this storm. Here you have the storm raging and the disciples panicking, and Jesus right there with them, he's sleeping. As the storm comes, he's not bothered or troubled. He sleeps away. It's so remarkable. You know, who sleeps through a storm on the sea when you're in a small boat? Who does that? Well, Jesus does. What does that tell us about our Lord Jesus? Who is this man who sleeps in the midst of this storm? And this is even more remarkable when we consider the way the Bible so often describes the sea. How is the sea portrayed in the Bible? It's portrayed often as being very threatening. The sea is a dangerous place. In the minds of the Bible writers, it's often presented as a very chaotic and threatening place. After all, it can be violent, it can rage, it can be calm one moment and then terrifying the next. It can destroy and take life, it can swallow up life. That's what the sea could be like. And so for the people of Israel, the sea was sometimes symbolic of destruction and chaos. I mean, you think even literally of what happened at the flood and how the waters overwhelmed the earth. The sea can be a frightening place. You'll notice at the very end of the book of Revelation, one of the things that is said to characterize the new heaven and the new earth, it says there will be no more sea. Revelation 21, verse 1, "And the sea was no more." I don't believe that's necessarily talking about literal bodies of water. Rather, what the idea there is all that the sea symbolized and represented in terms of turmoil and chaos will be no more. The people looked at the sea as a threatening place. And so for the Lord Jesus to sleep as the sea is raging is significant. Here was the sea with its danger, its turmoil, its violence coming after the boat. It's threatening, and yet Jesus sleeps. And in fact, it's not the storm that awakens Jesus. Remarkably, it's the disciples who end up awakening Jesus. But it's not just our Lord sleeping that shows his lack of fear. We also see this in his calmness when the disciples awaken him. What is Jesus' response when the disciples wake him? What does Jesus do when they say, "Master, Master, we are drowning"? Well, he got up. He simply rebuked the wind and the raging waters. Was Jesus troubled by the storm? No, and we're told he just got up and spoke, and then all became calm. But notice also the calmness of Jesus in these circumstances. Think about this. The wind is blowing. The waves are coming up onto the boat. The disciples are afraid. "Master, we're going to drown." Now they're thinking, "This is it. We're going to die." And yet in the middle of it, our Lord is completely calm. He is unthreatened, and he is in control. He gets up. He speaks to the wind. He tells the sea to be still. No panic or fear. He is in complete control over it all. This is important for us to remember. As we go through times of fear and danger, remember Jesus. Remember Jesus' response. Remember how he responded, trusting God. He was completely unafraid. Now, that doesn't mean we, as Christians, are not to be prudent and careful in whatever circumstances we might face. In the coming weeks, we're going to have to be prudent and careful. But remember God. Remember the Lord who is sovereign over all. Remember Jesus Christ, who is in control over all things. Remember Jesus. So Jesus is unafraid of the things that typically make us afraid. That's the first thing. In the second place, we see that Jesus has power and authority over the things that make us afraid. He has power and authority over them. So again, notice what happens. Verse 24, we're told that Jesus got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters. And then what happened? What happened when our Lord spoke? We're told that the storm subsided immediately and all was calm. Notice that. Jesus spoke. He spoke the word. He spoke to the wind and the waves, and instantly all was calm. He spoke. They heeded his word. Notice, it's not the wind and the waves that have power over Jesus. He has power over them. He is the one who rules over them. They do as he says they do. They are to do. He speaks. He speaks the word, and they obey. They do as the Lord tells them to do. Now, think for a moment about the significance of this. According to the Bible, and I'm thinking here especially of what we call the Old Testament scriptures, who has control over the sea? Who has ultimate control over the sea? Well, the answer, of course, is the Lord. The God of Israel is the one who has authority and power over the sea. We listen, for example, to Psalm 107. It's speaking of the Lord saving people who are at sea. I begin in verse 23, where it says, "Some went down to the sea in ships, doing business on the great waters. They saw the deeds of the Lord, his wondrous works in the deep, for he commanded and raised the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves of the sea. They mounted to the heavens, they went down to the depths, their courage melted away in their evil plight. They reeled and staggered like drunken men and were at wit's end. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He made the storm to be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed. Then they were glad that the waters were quiet, and he brought them to their desired haven." Notice that. Do you see the similarities between this passage in Psalm 107 and the passage this morning in the Gospel of Luke? In Psalm 107, we hear of the Lord God, the God of Israel, controlling the sea. Here in Luke, it's Jesus controlling the wind and the sea. In Psalm 107, it is the Lord who commands the wind and the waves. When the men cry out in their trouble, we hear that the Lord calms the storm. It says, He made the storm be still and the waves of the sea were hushed. That's God. The scriptures of the Old Testament show that it is the Lord, the God of Israel, who has absolute power over the things that make men fearful. He has absolute control over the wind and the waves. He speaks and they do. He speaks and they are still. And yet here we find the Lord Jesus doing this very thing. The Lord speaks and they're still. He's doing the very thing that we hear the Lord God of Israel doing in Psalm 107. What does this mean? It means that this Jesus who is in the boat is none other than the Lord of Israel, made man. Here we see who this man, Jesus of Nazareth, truly is. Here we find Jesus doing things that only God does. Here he is doing the very things that are in Psalm 107 attributed to the Lord God of Israel. This is no ordinary man. What this shows us is that the Lord God of Israel, the God who governs the wind and the waves and everything else, is the one who was now present with the disciples on the boat. Here is the God of Psalm 107, who commands the wind and the waves. Here he is, a man, incarnate, on the boat with the disciples. And as we look at the response of the disciples, we see that they're beginning to have at least some sense of this person who is in their midst. They don't understand everything, but they're recognizing that this man, Jesus, is no ordinary man. Who is this, they say? Who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him. He speaks and governs the creation. He has authority over all these things. Now, as we think about this, as we think about Jesus controlling the wind and the waves and showing authority over creation, that should give us great comfort. I know the disciples, you look at them, they were not exactly comforted at this point. But when you realize that our Lord Jesus controls all these things, it really ought to give us comfort. Think about what this means. Our Lord Jesus is in control over every danger that you and I will ever face. He has power over everything that could make us afraid. Nothing is outside of his governing authority, nothing. If there is an earthquake, a storm, a hurricane, that is not outside the power and authority of Jesus Christ. Jesus is not in heaven helpless as these things happen. If a car comes veering towards you, or you experience sickness, or even death, none of those things are outside of our Lord's power and sovereign control. The coronavirus is not outside of his control. Every danger we might face, every danger our loved ones might face, everything that might make us fearful and afraid is under his authority and power. The wind and waves obey him. Cancer obeys him. Diseases are under his authority. Nothing is outside of his power. He rules everything that might seem harmful and dangerous. Now, that, of course, does not mean that things will always go in this world as we want them to go. Our Lord is sovereign. Yes, but we don't know his purposes. We don't know what purposes he might have in the harmful things that are out there. We're not able to see the big picture. We're not even able to see things from the vantage point of heaven or the end that God has in view. But we do know that our Lord is in control over everything. Our Lord does not watch helplessly as things happen. He's not helpless over the troubles we encounter. No, he governs all things, including the things that make people afraid. So when dark times come, remember the sovereignty and authority of our Lord. The things that might seem hostile to us are not outside of his power. Even the wind and waves obey him. So Jesus is not afraid of the things that give us fear. He has power and authority over the things that give people fear. And that brings us then to the third thing we're going to see. In the third place, we see that Jesus is more to be feared. than the things that make us afraid. He is the proper object of our fear, a holy fear. Who are we to fear? We're to fear God. We're to fear Jesus. And I mean this, of course, in the biblical sense of a godly fear, a holy fear of the living God and of His Son, Jesus Christ. Once we realize that Jesus is the one, He is the Lord who rules over all things, even the things that make us afraid, then it is clear that Jesus then is more properly to be feared than the things that threaten us and make us afraid. He rules of them. Think about it. What are you going to fear? Are you going to fear the wind and the waves, or are you going to have a holy fear of the one who controls the wind and the waves, the one to whom even the wind and the waves and the diseases and all other things must submit? Which is the more proper object of our fear? Well, that's how it was for our Lord's disciples. Look again at how they respond to all this. Verse 25, in fear and amazement, they asked one another, "Who is this? Who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him." Notice that in fear and amazement. The storm is over, the threat is gone, but the fear, there's still fear. Only this, now it's a much more proper fear. It's directed in the right way. Their eyes are open to see something of the glory and power of this man, Jesus Christ, and they're now filled with a different fear, an awe. Only minutes earlier, they were panicking, thinking they were going to drown. All they could think about was the wind and waves crashing in. They didn't reflect upon the fact that they had Jesus on their boat. They didn't trust the one who had said to them beforehand, "Let us go across to the other side." And they didn't realize that the one who said, let us go across to the other side, would also bring them to the other side. They didn't see clearly that with Jesus, they had nothing to really ultimately be afraid of. They didn't realize that the one who was with them inside the boat was more powerful and to be feared than the wind and waves that were threatening the boat. They didn't understand. No, they didn't understand. Why would you worry about a storm when the Lord was right there? Why worry about the wind and waves when you have Jesus right there on the boat, the one who controls them? Here is the one who controls the storm right there. But as Jesus calms the storm, the disciples then see things in a new way, and they're filled with fear, a new and good fear. It is a fear that comes from gaining a new sense of who Christ is. You know, it's one thing to have the wind and waves attacking your boat, but it's another thing to have, and a far greater thing to realize that the one who's in control of the wind and waves is right there inside your boat. And so they're filled with fear, because what is a storm compared to this man? Brothers and sisters, when we realize who Jesus is, it gives us a whole new perspective on the world and all the things that are out there that can give fear to people. He gives us a new perspective. He is the one who controls the storms, and He is much more to be feared. He's much more to be feared than the things that might make us afraid. Who are you going to fear? What are you going to be more in awe of? A storm, or the one who has power over the storm? What is a storm compared to Jesus Christ? What is sickness or death compared to the one who has authority over all things? What is any threat compared to the Lord of glory? He is the proper object of our fear. Not a fear of terror, but a fear of awe and amazement and reverence. Remember Isaiah, who we heard earlier, when he saw his vision of Christ, his response, "Woe is me, for I am undone." Remember John in the book of Revelation, as he saw a vision of the glorified Christ, he says, "When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead." The Lord is the one whom we are to fear with a holy and godly fear, more so than the things that threaten us. And as we realize this, the threats of the world, while they're there and we have to understand them and be careful, but they fade in comparison to the glory of the Lord. What are all these things compared to His glory? He rules the things that bring us fear. So let us take courage. Remember who Jesus is. Believe on him. Remember, he has authority over all things. The storms are real and often painful. We need to be careful, prudent, and wise as we are seeking to be right now. But remember the Lord who has authority over them. Amen. Let us pray together. Father in heaven, gracious God, we thank you for your word and for the sovereignty, the glory and power of our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, Father, that in the days that lie before us, we would look to you continually in faith, fearing you, the Lord our God, with a healthy and holy fear. As we seek to make our way through the coming days, may we do so, Father, in a way that is honoring to Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.